church was actually a lover's quarrel. He loved them despite their problems. And as I thought about that, I thought about, well, that's the same way with God. Despite all of our problems, God loves us anyway, doesn't he? He is a God of love, and he has provided for us that kind of a love, and he wants us to do it. And we know there's no such thing as a perfect church. There's a saying, if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it. If you do, you'll spoil it for sure. We're not perfect, folks. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so therefore, we're not going to be in a perfect church until the day that we go to heaven and be with Jesus and God in heaven. But until that time, our churches are imperfect. But our goal is to be what? To struggle, to aim, to go towards that of being a perfect church. The Apostle Paul teaches whenever problems and difficulties arise, things need to be set straight. And as we think about that, there are three things I'd like for us to see. First of all, some things about Paul. Paul was a writer, but not only was he a writer, but he was a missionary, he was a preacher, he was an evangelist. He would go into different cities, and when he started churches, he would be there anywhere from 3 months to 3 years as he worked with that church to establish that in the name of Jesus Christ. He writes as someone who is called or commissioned to do a job that was set before him. And as I thought about that, I thought about this. Each one of us have been commissioned, haven't we? God has commissioned each one of us. He has called each one of us. The Great Commission is part of that call, to go and to share the gospel. Well, that doesn't mean I have to be a missionary and go to some foreign country. That doesn't mean I have to go to another state. That means that I can be a missionary right here in Withville, can I? I can serve here just as well as anywhere else. So as we look at that, we have that signs. Paul's authority and leadership came from outside. As we think about that, I look back at my life. I was content when I graduated from high school. I didn't like college. I dropped out of college. I served time in the military. And when I came out of the military, my mind was made up. I wanted to work construction. I wanted to be a carpenter. When the apprentice school opened up, I enrolled and I took classes at night and worked during the day to become a master carpenter. That was my dream. That was my vision. That was what I was set to do. Well, things dried up a little bit, as construction work will do, when we found ourselves unemployed and with lots of time on our hands. And I began to stop by and visit with a youth minister at my home church. And with his help, I began to pray, and I found that God was leading me outside of what I wanted. What I had dreamed and set forth was not to be in the ministry. Yes, I could be at church every Sunday. Yes, I could sing the hymns and those types of things, but don't be involved in anything else. Eventually, I found myself being called into the ministry. Being called came from outside, not with from inside. It came from God, and God decided my fate for me. My job was to listen to him and to hear that calling. It changed my path completely. It set up a new adventure in my life that I never expected to take. I have met people that I would have never met before. People that have lifted me up, people that are still praying for me, people that have given me advice. And so we see that, to what are we called to? We are called to hear and to see what God has called us into. Unfortunately, a lot of churches have what they call a nominating team or our equipping team, and that equipping team's responsibility is to fill billets. Well, we did that in the Navy. That's how we recruited. We needed X number of people. We needed to fill a number of people. And sometimes we treat our nominating committee that way, don't we? Our equipping team. We need to fill somebody to take that position. Well, suppose that person's not called to that position. What's going to happen? Any more than a pastor not being called to the church but came anyway. I believe with all my heart, as I read the scriptures, that when we follow God's will, in the nominating, equipping team. When we're following God's will be put in places. Teachers need to be called. Sunday school teachers need to be called by God just as much as I am called and others are called, just as much as the music person is called, the children's person is called, the youth person is called, just as much as all of us are called. We are all called together, and so we need to come together. A church is in real spiritual trouble when the congregation will not follow the leadership God has set into place. And that is hard sometimes, because when we're set in our ways, and as I get older, I find out I'm getting more set in my ways. But when God calls us, we don't get set in our ways. Abraham, as old as he was called by God to pick up his dwellings, his family, and everything, and what? Go to a land that I am leading you to. He was promised children. A great nation will be followed him and come after him. And at the age of 100, he had no children. At age 100, he had his first child. That's not much of a nation, is it? But he followed God, and that's what he's called us to do, is to work together. And as we look at the order of the church, we have some problems. We have people that think different ways. But I believe that the head of the church is Jesus Christ. That is number one. If he is the head of the church, then we will follow. But I also believe that God calls people to serve as preachers and deacons and elders, to lead that church, to help that church in a spiritual aspect. And this is where we're trying as deacons to do now, is we are trying to find out where we are spiritually so that we can lead the church spiritually in the same sense. And when we begin to follow Christ as the head of the church, we're going to see some great things happen, aren't we? It will take time. It will take God's time. You already know my time. I'm impatient. You know that from the traffic stories I've told you, trying to jump in this lane because it looked like it was moving faster, and jump back over here in this one, not letting people out. I fought hard to get where I am, and I'm going to be generous enough to let somebody else in there? Uh-uh. No way, Jose. God is working on that. God is working on our church. And it is going to change. It will take time. But he says in Hebrews 13:17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. But I also believe that a church is also in spiritual trouble when the leadership fails to lead in a proper manner. And as I look at that, I look at my own leadership role and where we're at. And I am trying to look at God's view, but how many times does my personal want to get in the way? Ministers get together and they talk about what we have done at our church. What's the first thing you hear there? It isn't our church, is it? But we talk about our church. It's not. God has just allowed us to be a part of that church. And we must change that. The second thing we see is the things about the church. The church belongs to God and not to anyone else. Not to me, to deacons, the Sunday school, the music. It doesn't belong to any one group, one person, or anything. It belongs to God. This verse 2 says, the church of God. The price was paid and bought through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. With verse 2, we also see the word sanctified, cleansed. Old stuff is washed away. I was one that used to get out and play, and I played real hard outside, and I would get real dirty. My mother would make me strip before I could get in the house and go straight to the bathroom and get in the tub so that I could be what? Cleaned. We went around and did the same thing the very next day, didn't we? Why do we want to keep wallowing in the same mud that we're in? We want to be sanctified and cleansed through the Holy Spirit, learn through Him. Verse 2 says, we are called to be holy. As we are called to be holy, that means that we're supposed to be special. In the Old Testament, when you read about the Israelites and how the Israelites were set apart. They were different. And as they seek permission to go through a different country, those people would let them go through. Why? Because they were afraid of the wrath of God, wasn't they? And they became people known for God's power. And today, people should know the same thing. They should know the power of God through what? People that are different than the rest of this world. We see that this world that Paul was talking about, the church was in the world, but he says we are not to be part of the world. And then we are to be just set apart for service. I think it's great that we have emphasis. And everybody has a special interest that they're in. I think it's great for all of these phone calls that I get from different organizations that are doing some great things. But I came and found out one thing. I can't give money to every one of those organizations. So I have to what? Pick and choose which ones I want. That doesn't mean one's better than the other. But it means they're all important. And that is the way it is with the church. As we are called, my heart's youth. That's where I first felt the calling, was to work with youth. And I'm always, even as a pastor, I have a slight little interest more so with youth than anything else. But children's programs is good. Youth and programs are important. Adult programs, senior adult programs, young adults, all of those are important programs to have. Music programs, training union, vacation Bible school, all of it is important, isn't it? But not one is better than the other. It all has to do what? To work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come together, we will see that we will be set apart. And people will come in the droves to worship, not because it's a beautiful building, because we're friendly people, but because we're Spirit-filled. We are bigger than one congregation. God says we are all one in the family. And as we look at that, we need to remember that we are more. It's just not going to be Baptists in heaven. There are going to be all types of denominations, all types of people, ethnic groups, and whatevers. Every type of people that you can imagine will be in heaven as long as they know Jesus Christ. And he says we are blessed with everything that we need. Think about that for a second. Are we really blessed with everything that we need? How many of us really want more? As we think about that, verse 5 tells us that we have spiritual blessings that God has given us. He has given us blessings already this morning, hasn't he? We've gotten up, and that's a whole lot better than a lot of people. We have a place to get our bed to get out of. We've got a house to move out of. We have a vehicle that gets us to church, don't we? We've got nice clothes. Most of us have probably had plenty to eat. I know I have. We've got a lot to be blessed for, don't we? And if that's not enough, we have a God that wants to worship with us. He wants to love us and to take care of us. In verse 7, he says, "You do not lack any spiritual gift." My understanding of that simply means this. Every person in this church has been given a spiritual gift. Every person that knows Jesus Christ has a spiritual gift. Now, I have a spiritual gift of listening to music, but God did not give me the spiritual gift to sing. Right, Sarah? She's not going to answer that, but she knows the answer. She politely asked me not to sing in the choir. No, she says, when I said something about singing in the choir, she just kind of nodded her head. But see, that's not my gift. I love to hear music. I love to hear the choir sing. And I love sitting down there listening to them and not being up there, kind of being the one that can't sing. That's not my gift. But there are people that sing that touches our hearts. They need to use it for God. There are people that can play. Jimmy's over there hiding somewhere. That can play. I love to hear Jimmy play. I can't do that. But he can. And God has given it to him to use. And so God has given every one of us gifts to use. When I first came here, I heard of a little old lady. Nobody seemed to know what her name was or who she was, but they knew the story and said that when they had to ride for the wall and all the motorcycles came in there, she would go up and ask different ones if she could take their laundry home and wash their clothes for them. Wow. Now, how's that a gift? Well, if you've got dirty clothes and you don't have any clean ones, you sure don't want to put any more dirty ones back on. And it was just, what, fantastic to have clean clothes. It doesn't matter what you do. It's how you use it for God, isn't it? And how you touch people's hearts. There are people that are just encouragers. They just have a smile on their face and give you an encouraging word. You don't have to be a great preacher, a great singer. You don't have to be a great evangelist. Just love God and use. And then finally, some things about Jesus Christ. Verse 2 said, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy together with all these everywhere. He is in charge. Remember the Great Commission? He charged us to go, but then he says, I am with you. In everything that we do, God is with us. He is in charge. He is ahead of all things. And yet he also made a promise in John 14 that he would do what? Come back again. I will come back so that you may be where I am. In verses 7 and 8 he says, now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we sung a song and it says, I'm desperate for you in the early service. And then at the end, as they were wrapping the song up, he says, shout it out, I'm desperate. How many of us are really desperate for Jesus Christ? Well, preacher, I don't have to be desperate. Paul was desperate. Paul was so desperate for Jesus Christ that he went out and he preached and taught and he shared the name of Jesus Christ to anybody that would listen as if God was coming right that very minute. What is our thinking today? Are we preaching and teaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ as if he was going to come this very day? We know he's coming when? Sometime. But our sometime is where? Out here. And we have plenty of time, don't we? We can plan anything and everything except God's work. And we need to be anxious about it. And we need to be excited about it and preach as if there was no tomorrow. Paul reminds us that things need to be set straight before the church belongs to Christ can make a comeback. If we don't set God first in our church, if we're not doing what God has called us to do, then we're not going to see any growth. And that is why so many churches today are dying and closing their doors. They're trying to do it themselves and not what God is calling us to do. April 14th, 1912 was just an ordinary night. People were laughing, crying. People were on a huge ocean liner. There was music in the air. The captain and most of the crew had already gone to bed and called it a night. And all of a sudden, an iceberg hit the Titanic, ripped a big hole into it. News reporters said, this is an unsinkable ship. It has been so well built, it can't be sunk. It's amazing what a whole lot of water can do in a hull of a ship. And thousands of people drowned. And this is the same problem that the Corinth church was facing. The church was in the world as Christ intended, but unfortunately the world was in the church, wasn't it? And this is what he was talking about. This is where he was telling them, you need to take the world out of the church and put Christ back into it. Yes, we have to be in this world, but we don't have to be a part of it. This morning, does your life seem like the Titanic? Every thought that you have, everything that you work toward, seems like as you're doing it, you keep getting further away from God. Can you identify with the church? A lot of promise, but not much practice. Full of the world and sinking fast. If you are, Revelation 22:12 keeps that promise. Look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. God intends for us to work on this earth for Him. His plan on this earth is us. Yes, God just breathed and spoke, and the earth was formed. Man was formed. And God could breathe and every one of us bow down and worship Him. But instead of doing that, He has called us. We are His plan A. And folks, He has no plan B. If we don't share the gospel doesn't get shared. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us an opportunity to hear your word. Father, put a burden in our heart to serve you. Put a burden in our hearts to see so many people that are lost come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, help us this morning to get our hearts right with you, get our focus upon you this morning, and to share the name of Jesus Christ.